go with the first reading this morning, John 16, 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father was is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading for today is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Hear the words of the Lord. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Well, this is Trinity Sunday. It's the Sunday that we are reminded that the God that Christians believe in is a God that is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That they all have a different responsibility and a different character, but together it is God. I love that reminder. I love knowing. I love remembering. I remember, too, that when I was growing up, every single spring, without fail, there was a movie that played on television every single year. The Wizard of Oz was one of those movies that some of us either absolutely love or absolutely dread. And I can't tell you how many times I've watched it as a small child and thought, I wonder what that would be like to be in your house and be hit by a window and to be, because, you know, in Indiana, when you live in Tornado Alley, in the spring, tornado season, the Wizard of Oz was an annual event. And one of the things that I try to remember, more than I remember the house being swirled up, more than I remember the story of all of the things that Dorothy had to do, at the very end of the movie, they asked her, what did you learn? Dorothy, what did you learn? It's a great question for all of us, isn't it? That every single day that we get to live on this earth, there is something for us to learn. In the house where I live, sometimes we learn that you don't put things in the way of the puppy, because the puppy will find them. No matter how hard you think that she will not, she will sniff out that sock, that whatever it is. But Dorothy reminds us, sometimes it's not enough for someone to tell us. We have to learn it for ourselves. We have to keep it in our heart and get it embedded in us. And I think that's what Paul is doing in this letter. He's instructing the church, even us today, to remember who God is, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We have the privilege to know all of God if we choose to. We have the privilege to experience the Godhead. We have the experience, we have the privilege to know, even today, that Paul is instructing us. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. I like that. Paul, in this case, is serving as a pastor. And so, when we think of the people in our lives who are like pastors to us, for me, as I was growing up, it was not only the pastor of our church, but it was my mom and dad as well. It was my mom and dad who taught me about God all through the week. And then that was reinforced on Sundays. I like that. It also reminds us that while we can have very similar ideas, we need all of the different ideas to be part of the church. We need everybody's input, we need everybody's ideas, and we need to know sometimes about the experiences. How did we get to this place? How did we get to understand that God is with us always, even to the end of the age? That God will see us through, that there is never a place we can go that Jesus isn't with us. And those times when we forget that the Holy Spirit can speak through us and to us to comfort us and to remind us. One of the things that it reminds us is that this world is not our home. This is where we get to experience all sorts of different parts of life. And yet, God says, don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable, because while this is awesome, what waits for us beyond this earth is even better. Is even better. We have that promise from God. God the Father that guides us and protects us. God the Son that comes to be with us and share with us. God the Holy Spirit that speaks even when we feel alone. I love that. Paul is trying so hard to help the people from Rome understand. It's just a reminder that while Paul was there and Paul was teaching, there was a time that he had to leave. Is always there. I love the Trinity. I love the example of that. I think of all, in the United Methodist Church, there are probably 80 million United Methodist churches that are Trinity United Methodist Church. Okay, maybe not quite 80 million, but maybe 70. Because there's a Trinity United Methodist Church in many, many places. And part of that is intentional, because people want us to remember, just like we sang in Holy, 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 God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. So what do we learn about the Trinity? There are many lessons, but especially I like the fact that the Trinity reminds us that our lives and the grace that we've been given is a mixture of a lot of different things. The first thing is that it's love. It's the very first thing. The church is love. It reminds us that the first time that Paul mentions the word love is right here in this passage. Paul is reminding the people of Rome that it's the love of God, and that we are to love God. God teaches us about love, and then in turn, we love God. It's both and. Paul teaches us, too, that in the Trinity, Another element is the peace that Christ brings. And we remember that it is not the peace that the world gives. So often we get confused by that, and we think that what people say in the world is peace. And yet for those of us who are Christians, we understand that the peace of Christ is justice and peace. Intentionally, we are to seek real peace with God so that we know how to seek real peace with our neighbor. And as Jesus said, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "Everyone." And so how do I manage to be at peace with all of the people that I come in contact? Well, because I think the third element that Jesus wants to teach us about is hope. We can boast. In other words, we can rejoice in the hope that God gives. God reminds us, "I will never leave you." But hope also says, "I know you think you know what's happening, but wait, there's more." Just like on the infomercials. Implant that in your brain so the next time you're watching one and somebody says, "But wait, there's more." Let that remind you of the hope that God gives us. It's a reminder that we are sharing side by side with suffering people. On Friday, I was invited to share at the Book Pillows of Hope banquet. They do it every year. And I was one of five speakers, and I spoke about how we help in Book Pillows of Hope. But I got to hear from other people. I got to hear from a police chief that said we had to bring these kids in because we didn't have any place else to go. But we had these book pillows in our closet, and so we got them out. And when a police officer went in to check on them, the kids were laying on the pillows and reading the books. And for a moment, they forgot that there was such turmoil in their family and in their lives right now. We got to hear from a woman who works with foster children. And she said, "And when they bring them into our office, the first thing we ask is, 'Would you like to pick out a book pillow?'" And she said, almost always those kids would say, "Okay, so I put the book back and I'll put it in the..." And they said, no, that's for you. That's for you. You don't have to give that back." It's offering hope in the midst of their suffering. There were so many wonderful examples that I heard on Friday. And so many that I already know, because the founder of Book Pillows is such a dear friend of mine. And she'll tell me sometimes, she'll call and she'll say, "I just have to share this story with you." And I know I'm one of about 10 or 15 or 20, she knows lots of ministers, who she will call to say, "I just want to encourage you." The lesson of the Trinity says, yes, there is love. Yes, there is peace. There is also hope, even in the midst of trouble. And then the fourth element of the Trinity is suffering. And I know that seems a little weird. We had love and peace and hope. And I know that you probably were thinking, "And then, yes, Laura, we know, then joy." We get that. And then I say suffering. Suffering tells us that we don't rejoice because of the suffering. We learn how to rejoice in the midst of the suffering. Hear the difference? I'm not joyful and I'm not happy because of the suffering, but even in the midst of the worst, God will remind us, because suffering is not going to squash rejoicing. For those of us that believe in Christ, we know. For those of us who trust in God, we know. For those of us who feel the Holy Spirit with us, we know that in the midst of the suffering, even the most horrendous, that we can find the peace of Christ. It doesn't change the situation. It doesn't change the circumstance, because I believe that God is reminding us that no matter what is happening in your life, I am with you. And I will comfort you in the midst of your suffering. See, it's kind of that game. One of these things is not like the other. We get all excited about peace and love and hope. We don't get as excited about suffering, but that's our test. And I don't believe that God says, okay, you're doing really well, now I'm going to just test you. Here we go. I don't believe that that is what happens. I believe that God knows our human nature well enough, and God knows our world well enough, and God understands that there are times when we will suffer. Jesus taught us that. Jesus went to the cross to teach us. There will be times when each of us will suffer too. But we can rejoice because God is with us. In a time of troubles, we don't want to waste all of our energy on the pain, on the suffering. But we want to learn. We want to learn that when pain comes, and it will, in fact, if we took a poll, my guess is if I asked who has ever suffered, all of our hands would go up, because at one point in time, all of us have had to go through pain or sufferings. But if we learn that when the pain comes, that all of our denial and all of our avoidance of it is just really a waste of time, we learn that life and health and hope all come to us, but we also learn to endure. Mother Teresa modeled it, didn't she? She brought hope to the future. She brought hope to people who had lost all hope and faith. Mother Teresa teaches us, even now that she's not with us, Mother Teresa teaches. And then she modeled it so that we also can do the same. God says to us, no matter what your circumstance, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, my prayer for each of the creation is to be faithful. It's not a matter of earning God's love. We already have it. We don't have to earn the right to be children of God. But we do get to discover that faithfulness in God is with us always. Verse 2 of the passage I read that says, through Jesus Christ, whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Jesus says to each of us, you can be faithful. You can, no matter what your circumstances, you can live and feel the love of God with you. So, we're reminded. We're reminded in verse 5. It says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we have the courage, we have the strength, and we can rejoice. We can rejoice. At Christmas time, I try not to watch a whole lot of movies over and over again, but you know, I do. I do. I love to watch all versions of Scrooge. I love to watch the very theatrical. I love to watch the super old that are in black and white. I love to watch Mr. Magoo as I love that. Because it reminds us, every single one of them, every production reminds us of Tiny Tim's words. And Tiny Tim says, and God bless us, every one. God bless us, everyone. As we go through our lives, may we remember that the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is with us. And each person of the Trinity strengthens us and encourages us. Each person of the Trinity brings something new and different to our life. And each person of the Trinity mostly reminds us of the love of God. As we go through our days, may we hold on to those promises of grace. May we keep the love of Christ near our heart, and may we always share the peace and the love and the hope with those who are suffering. And as I've heard often, preach constantly and use words only when necessary. God created us to live a life of faith. It doesn't have to be explained, but that people can enjoy. And in the words of Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone.